Back when I was in university, I was driving down one late night. It was cold too, kind of like the past few days. And I seen these three Caucasian men on the side of the road, and they were kind of trying to wave me down. And it looked like they were asking for a ride. First thing I thought, there's no way I'm picking these guys up. It's nighttime, it's dark, it's cold. Also, during this time, one of my friends was getting into neo-Nazism, and he was telling me all these stories. And one of the guys he knows actually almost beat a Filipino to death that same year. So in my mind, I'm like, no way I'm stopping. So I kept going, and something in me kind of urged me, and I believe the Holy Spirit urged me, you gotta stop. I'm like, no, there's no way I'm doing it. No way. So I passed them, trying to ignore them, and this sense kept getting stronger. So finally, I stopped my brakes. Ah, fine, unlocked the door. They jumped in my car, and instantly I could smell the alcohol. We are doing a series right now, In His Shoes, where we are called to be like Jesus, walk as Jesus walked. And this, another word for this is discipleship, becoming more like Jesus. And we're doing 40 days of discipleship, trying to become more like Jesus. And in his book, a guy named Dan Spader kind of talks about this journey or process of discipleship through four stages, or what he calls chairs. First chair are people who are called seekers, those who don't know Jesus yet. The second one is a believer, those who believe in Jesus. The third is a worker, those who work for Jesus. And the fourth is a multiplier, those who tell others about Jesus so that others become disciples of him. And today we're gonna look at the first chair, seekers. And I didn't know at the time, but those three white guys were seekers. They didn't know about Jesus. And let me just say, if you are a seeker today, awesome. Welcome. We're so glad you are here with us. And today we're going to look at In the Samaritan's Shoes. In a book called the Gospel of John, in chapter 4, there's a Samaritan woman who was a seeker and met Jesus. And when Jesus met her life changed dramatically. And she felt whole and new. And disciples of Jesus, we are, like Jesus, called to go and reach out to, love on seekers, and tell them about the good news of Jesus. As John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only Son." God sent Jesus' Son to us to proclaim good news, to tell about the justice of God, and also to die on the cross for our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins, and also for freedom from sin, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Because Jesus rose from the dead, those who call upon Jesus now have eternal life to come and also empowered life now. And as we look at the story, this, as disciples, it can be hard to tell others about Jesus. It can be scary, especially when it's three white guys versus one little brown boy. It's a weighty, weighty call. The good news is that Jesus himself is with us, and he empowers us, strengthens us, and shows us how to tell others about him. And we're going to look at this story in John 4 of the Samaritan woman and how we, as believers and disciples, can reach out to seekers with the love of Jesus. So if you have Bibles, please turn with me to John chapter 4. And we're going to go starting in verse 27. Just some background. Jesus and his disciples go to Samaria. They actually go out of their way to get to Samaria. And disciples go get some food. And Jesus is by this well. And this Samaritan woman comes to the well. And they start talking. And the woman is so impressed by Jesus. And actually, Jesus was given foreknowledge of this woman's life, secrets of her life, and the woman is so shocked, and she begins to believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the one to come to save us all. And then we pick up the story in verse 27, and as you read the story, I encourage you to picture it. That is, kind of imagine yourself in the story. Are you the disciples? Are you the woman? Are you the Samaritans? And may the Holy Spirit speak to you in this story. Hear the word of the Lord, starting in verse 27. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see, a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes, look at the fields, they are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and the other reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with him, and he stayed 2 days. Because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you have said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending our Lord Jesus to us, the Savior of the world. Thank you. You have filled our lives with hope and peace and joy in you. So help us, Lord, share this joy and peace that we have experienced to others. Give us strength when we are afraid or don't know how. Help us, Holy Spirit. We can't do without you. And Lord, may you use me today with these small words for your glory. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's what I believe God wants us to know today. Disciples go where Jesus went and point to where Jesus is. Followers of Jesus, we are called to go to the seeker, to the lost, to the hurting, to the broken, to the questioning. And we are called not just to follow Jesus' example, but follow and rely on Jesus' spirit. Because Jesus rose from the dead, he is not dead, he's alive, and he is here with us. And he is working among us through his Holy Spirit. Instead of us trying to bring Jesus to seekers, all we have to do is to point to, show people where Jesus already is. And Jesus, as the story says, he is already in our personal testimony. He is in the Word of God, and he is in the community of believers, the church. And today we're just going to unpack this a little bit more through the story in John 4 and just look at those two main points. One, disciples go where Jesus went, and two, disciples point to where Jesus is. So let's look at the first point. Disciples, they go where Jesus went. In this passage and also in the Gospels in general, there's a sense of urgency when it comes to telling others about Jesus. And Jesus explains this in verse 35, and he often uses physical reality, physical stuff, to teach us about spiritual truth. In chapter 4, verse 35, he says, "Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until a harvest'? But I tell you, open your eyes, a harvest is here. They are ripe for harvest. Look at the fields." And Jesus is saying there's no time to wait. The harvest is now. We have to work. I grew up with a lot of farmers. And when harvest time came, oh my goodness, there's no sitting here and tush. You are working like crazy. And also the Bible says there's a sense of urgency because God says that those who are seekers are spiritually lost. They are dead in their sins. They are actually slaves to sin. They can't break out of the cycles. And also they're on this journey towards death and eternal separation from God. And this is what we all were before Jesus came into our lives. And we are called to go and proclaim the good news of Jesus to them, because only Jesus can deliver them from sin and grant them eternal life. And because of this, we are now called to go. We can't wait for seekers to come to us. We are called to go to them. And Jesus went to places which aren't always the most comfortable, such as Samaria. Now, if you know the history, Jews and Samaritans, they kind of hated each other. They were actually related back in the day, but Samaritans were now seen as this heretical sect. One rabbi or Jewish teacher says this about Samaritans: "He that eats the bread of the Samaritans is as one who eats the flesh of swine." Now, if you know how Jews like pigs, you kind of can sense the forcefulness of that phrase. Also, another quote says, "All Samaritans are unclean from the cradle." Now, he didn't use the word unclean, a little more offensive, but you kind of get the picture. And despite all this, Jesus, he goes to Samaria. And in fact, if you look a little bit earlier in chapter 4, it says that Jesus went out of his way. He intentionally took a huge detour to get to Samaria and talk to this woman. And let me add, also in that culture, it was taboo for a man to talk to a woman alone. And you can understand why the disciples were kind of freaking out when they come back and they see Jesus talking with this woman. In verse 27, they are speechless. And this is the place where Jesus goes, and we are called to go to the same. But just like the disciples of Jesus, it can be hard. It can be scary. It was hard to let those three guys who were drunk into my car. And I believe that Jesus kind of orchestrated that the disciples go and get some food while he was alone to meet this woman. Because the disciples, they probably would have stopped him. There was no way they would have talked with this woman. Now, how about you? Are there certain people whom you find hard to love? Are there people whom you believe are unclean or dirty or bad from birth? Now, during the time of my story with the car, I realized that I was having a little bit of prejudice against white people because of the stories of neo-Nazism and all that stuff. I was afraid of them because of their skin color. That's crazy, right? And God has been working on me to heal that fear. How about you? Is there anybody like that for you? Jesus may be calling you to them. Now, I was reading a book by Brett McCracken, and he wrote a book called Uncomfortable, and he argues that church and also society has succumbed to this idolatry of comfort. That is, we hold comfort above everything else, even God. And because of this, we only associate with comfortable people like us, people of the same culture and ethnicity, the same age, the same political views. Even Christians, we have something called this Christian bubble, where we only really associate with people like us who believe the same as us. And Dan Spader in his book asks, how many seekers would call you their best friend? How able are you to open your bubble up to include people not like you? I'm very thankful. My wife, Sarah, she has many, many friends who are seekers. And through her genuine love and relationship with them, we are able just to show Christ's love to them, just to be there for them. And we are called to go to uncomfortable places, but also, like the woman, we are also called to go to the familiar. The woman went to her hometown, and like her, we are called to go to our own neighborhood, our coworkers, our family. And sometimes this is even harder because people know you. Your reputation in the community might change if you start talking about Jesus. And even Jesus was rejected in his own hometown. And we are all called to go to different people and places. And I pray and ask that you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you where you are called. I believe God's called me to people living in poverty and homelessness. And let me tell you, there's great joy when you find your calling. It's a hard, it's a burden, but also it's a great joy. So I pray that you find it as well. Who are you called to go to today? At Mosaic House, an application that we do is three simple things: prayer, care, and share. And let's look at the first two. I encourage you to pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you whom I call to go to. And once you find those names, pray for them regularly. As you pray for them, you will develop this genuine love for them. You just want to care for them. And also, Holy Spirit will open opportunities and also give you the strength for opportunities to love them. And the second is care, providing for their practical needs. As you pray for them, you just want to care for them, to be present during hard times, to meet their physical needs, to go on just a phone call. And Mosaic House, we're also doing something like Ding Dong Dash, just dropping off food for our friends and neighbors. These are wonderful ways that we can just share the love of Christ to seekers. Disciples go where Jesus went and point to where Jesus is. And let's go to the second point now. Let's see how the woman tells her town about Jesus. And the second point is, disciples point to where Jesus is. Now, have you ever felt inadequate or unqualified to tell others about Jesus? Like, you just don't know what to say? Well, I hope this woman can encourage us, because she only met Jesus once. And after that, she went to her town. She becomes an evangelist, a multiplier, tells others about Jesus. And she went to her town, and we see in the scriptures, in verse 29, she just says two words: come, see. That's it. No fancy rhetoric, no big theology. All she did was point to Jesus. Come see Jesus. And I think sometimes telling others about Jesus can feel like this burden, because of, you know, you feel like, I don't know what to say. And also because of that sense of urgency, like, I got to do it soon. Oh, well, scripture does emphasize the sense of urgency, but also it does emphasize the sense of confidence that this is the Lord's work. Telling others about Jesus is not about us, how well we do. It's all about God. And ultimately, it's not even our work and mission. It is Jesus' mission, given to him by the Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit, in which he invites us, his children, to play a small, important part. We see this in verse 36. And Jesus is kind of using this metaphor of a harvest to talk about people who become from seekers to believers. They're ripe for harvest. In verse 36, he says, "Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so the sower and the reaper can be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and the other reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Jesus is saying that other people have done all the hard work, and now it's your turn to reap the labor. And those other people he refers to is the Old Testament, the prophets and people there. And most recently, John the Baptist was sent by God and his disciples to prepare the way of Jesus. And also, of course, the Holy Spirit, who is always working in people's lives. And we are called, when we try to tell us about Jesus, it's not like we're going to try and make them our project. Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to do all this stuff and then he'll become a follower of Jesus. I can't. Yeah, let's do that. No. In love, we just do our small part, trusting that God is already at work in their life. 1 Corinthians 3:6-8, this is the Apostle Paul. He uses the same metaphor and the same attitude. He says here, "I, Paul, planted the seed. Apollos, as another disciple of Jesus, watered it. But God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their labor." I love that image. It's not about us planting, it's doing all this stuff. But we do our small part, but the main thing, it's God who makes things grow. It's God who calls seekers to himself. But we do have an important part. And Dan Spader kind of puts more details to our part. And he puts it in this called spiritual CPR. And the first one he says is cultivate. That is the breaking up the ground. And that's building the friendships with people, spending time with them, just building true friendships and relationships. Two is planting, P, planting. It's sowing the seed at the right time in the right way through the Holy Spirit. And that's little things of showing love in word and deed, spending time with them during a hard time, saying, I'll pray for you. Maybe it's sharing what, you know, your own life, what God has been working, just little seeds here and there. And the final one is R, is reaping. That's when they are ready to move from seeker to believer. And you may have the honor and privilege of being there at the time to present the good news of Jesus and to see with your own eyes transformation. CPR, I like this. So that's nice, but how do we actually do this? Well, like the woman, all we really have to do is say, come see. I like this image that someone said of evangelism or telling others about Jesus is like a beggar pointing to telling another beggar where to get food. And again, our job is just to point to Jesus. The Lord's already working, and our job is to point. And also, in order to point, we need to know where Jesus is. Where has the Lord nourished you like good food? Think about where Jesus is working right now. First, think about your own life. How has Jesus saved you? How did Jesus meet you? How is Jesus sustaining you during these hard, hard times? Jesus is there in our personal testimony. How about the Word of God, the Bible? Is there any verses lately that have kind of spoken to your heart? Jesus is here in His Word. And how about in the community of believers shaped by the love of Jesus? In the church, where has Jesus met you? Whether virtual church, online, in the sermons, in the worship. Where have you experienced and seen Jesus in action? And if you have not seen Jesus in these things, I encourage you to really ask your heart this question. Whether you've been a believer or been to church, I guess for all your life or never, what chair am I in? Am I a believer, a worker, or multiplier? Or am I still a seeker? Be honest. God wants you to be honest. And in that honesty, turn to Jesus in these things. Seek and you will find Him. And if you do see Jesus in these things, rejoice. Thank Him. That's awesome. And with that same joy, tell others about the goodness of God that you see Jesus, whom you know. Tell others, come and see Jesus in my own life. Look what He's done for me. Come and see Jesus in this book. Look at this verse. Come and see Jesus in His community. Come check out the online service. Check out the community hub after. Come check out a virtual house church. Jesus is there. I saw Him. Come and see Him. Disciples go where Jesus went and then point to where Jesus is. Now, there is no formula for this. And unfortunately, it's never going to be easy to do this. However, the more we experience the love and grace of Jesus in our lives, the more we just want to share it. Isn't that true? The things you just so feel the joy about, so excited about, you just want to tell others about Jesus. And also, the more we draw closer to Jesus and become more like Him in His shoes, the more we will become people who naturally want to share the good news to seekers. I listened to a podcast by Priscilla Pope Levison, and she wrote a book about evangelism. And at the end of her book, she tells about five virtues that Christians should have, which will naturally create gospel transformation in people's lives. And we've already talked about them, but one virtue is hospitality, second is integrity, relationships, church-rootedness, and message-bearing. As we grow in these qualities, through and by the Holy Spirit working us, we will naturally grow in reaching out and loving seekers for Jesus. And again, one small application, prayer, care, and the last one is share. When it's time for reaping, through the Holy Spirit, make the most of opportunities to share about Jesus, to go and to point to Jesus. Come see Jesus at work. I pray you'll be given courage and joy as you do this. And if you are a seeker, let me just speak to you right now. The woman came to the well looking for water to nourish her physical body. And then in verse 28, it says that she left her water jug behind because after meeting Jesus, she was so filled with this living water which nourished her soul. And she was just so gushing over. I think she just forgot it there. And like this woman, Jesus knows you and he loves you so much. He gave his life for you on the cross. And now he offers you new creation, a new life through his resurrection. He is calling out to you and encourage you to consider answering his call. Now this call requires that you leave everything for the sake of Jesus. To follow him as king and ruler of all creation. And in return, Jesus promises to give you a true life. I encourage you to call out to him, cry out to him. If you have any questions or if you made that decision, please do let us know. Disciples, go where Jesus went and point to where Jesus is. Let me just end with the story. So I was in the car. These three white guys came in. They're smelling alcohol. I was freaking out. I'm like, okay, I'm dead. Thank you, Lord, for a good life. I'll see you soon. And they turned out not to be neo-Nazis. Yay, praise the Lord. And we actually had a good time. I just dropped them around Capilano area to different houses. And the last guy, he's in the front seat and we're talking. He was really open to spiritual things. And I was like, what is going on, Lord? So I was like, okay. And we stopped at his front of his house and I just told him, come see Jesus in my own testimony. So I shared about my life, how God in Christ saved me, delivered me from addiction, changed my life, made me whole. And he listened. He was really interested. And after he shook my head and said, I have lots to think about. Thank you so much. And I'm not sure what happened to him. I pray for him every once in a while. But again, it's not up to me. God has been working in his life. And I was called to play a very small part in it. And I pray one day a time of harvest will happen in his life. Now I tell you this story just to encourage you that the Holy Spirit is working and wants to partner with you for his kingdom to point others to Jesus. But also I'm a little worried in telling you that story because I don't want you to feel guilty or ashamed for not having experiences like that. And like Pastor Victor mentioned last week, this guilt or this shame may not be from God, because telling others about Jesus is not about us, how good we are at doing it. It's all about the Lord Jesus, and he is calling us to just play our small part in it. And also, most of the opportunities the Holy Spirit will send you isn't these extraordinary random events. Most of them will be in the ordinary, mundane things of life, in our hospitality, in our availability, in regular meetings with our neighbor, with our coworker, with our hairdresser. And all we are called to do is go and say, come and see. Disciples, go where Jesus went and point to where Jesus is. And Jesus is with us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Lord Jesus, King of the heavens and the earth, we bow down before you and we thank you that you are here with us through your Holy Spirit, active in our lives, giving us strength and peace and joy, helping us overcome sin, active in your word, which gives life to us, and active in your community. Help us to walk in your shoes more and more so that others may know who you are. I pray for those who are seeking you, Lord, that you'd meet them in a special and wonderful way, in a unique way, which highlights and celebrates their own life and story because you love them so much. And help us, Lord, to be your servants in pointing others to who you are. We pray this in the kind name of Jesus. Amen.